Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Fearscape Media Network, exploring the unknown, one podcast at a time.
Hello, dear friends. I'm your head mister, Lord Stefan Gearhart.
And I am your co-mister, the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And together we are the Misters of the Misters of the Dark! Don't shut up! Ugh, whatever. Join us wherever you stream your favorite podcasts, or go to mistersofthedark.com, where we'll be discussing all things horror, from films and books to everything in betweensies. We also have the occasional victim. I mean, guest.
Only on the Fearscape Media Network.
Shut up, Lance! Oh, I always get the last laugh.
Hi, friends. This is Kelly with Wishful Drinking and Binge Thinking, the podcast where I get just absolutely hammered and I dole out psychological advice. That's right, I am going to be more drunk than that girl you met in the bar bathroom after your karaoke set who said, "You have such good stage presence, oh my god." That's right, zero preparation, multiple drinks, countless profound gems. Tune in the last Monday of every month on Fearscape Media Network.
Hey everybody, it's Josh Rutledge, your co-host for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to support us more, please head over to our website, fearscapepodcast.com. There you can click on store and browse some really awesome t-shirts and maybe pick a couple up, or even go to our Patreon page and see how you can support us monthly. We love bringing you awesome content just as much as you like listening to it. Enjoy the show.
The following program is presented for entertainment purposes. WCHQ does not necessarily endorse the ideas presented.
Fearscape is a program that explores the legends and lore around many creepy and scary things. Information is researched and presented in an entertainment fashion and is presented based off of what we found. Legends have a way of changing over time, so
beware. Fearscape.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Fearscape, your home for all things spooky, scary, paranormal, and just plain weird, here on 100.9 FM WCHQ, as well as the Destination Nation Network. My name is Stefan, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Josh.
What up?
What up? He's keeping it simple. That's right. We have a fun episode today. Well, the last two, so the two ago, we got to know you. And last week we got to know Steven. Oh, yeah. And he's already been hitting me up from people that listen to the episode of his friends and family that have sent us in stories. And
that is awesome.
Lordy but gordy, do we got some stuff down the road. But this week's going to be cool, man. We're talking about something. So my family lives out in Phoenix, and we're going to be talking about the Phoenix Lights. Now, granted, they weren't out there then, but my brother and my sister both and their families live in Phoenix. The Phoenix Lights happened in 1997. We're going to get into that. A very cool aeronautical event.
I guess so, yeah.
I don't know how to put it. But I'm constantly trying to find a term that fits alien stuff like paranormal fits ghost stuff. Even though I know, I guess paranormal fits alien stuff, yeah. But when I say it, you don't think aliens immediately. You think ghosts.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, is there like an extraterrestrial event, I guess?
I don't know. There's so much wrapped up around aliens, too, that like, for some people, you just say alien, like, oh, it's, you know, this guy's a crackpot.
Yeah. Or, oh, you're talking about Mexican and Canadians? but yeah, so we're going to be talking about that, some very cool lights in the sky. But before we get to that, I've got a... got a very interesting piece of spooky news.
Okay.
So be ready, y'all. Be ready. All right. I will pre-warn you again. Be ready, because you need to be ready. Because what I have here is that aliens are to invade Earth between 2017 and 2020. So we've got only a few months left that this is supposed to happen. And this is according to the Book of Revelations and Nostradamus. So according to those books, and this is off of a website called News. Hold on. That's weird. News Intact is what it is. So, according to the Book of Revelations and Nostradamus, Earth is about to be attacked by aliens in the near future. A YouTube video presumably managed to decipher the predictions and the prophecies conveyed by Nostradamus and the Book of Revelations. The video comes up with a strong theory that both of them were right in their predictions. According to psychic T. Chase, owner of the channel Revelation13.net, these events are unfolding. The channel also claimed that Russian President Vladimir Putin is doing his best to start World War III. So according to this guy, this is going to take place between the years of 2017 and 2020. So this news article just got hip to this YouTube video. Aliens will come to our planet led by the second coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus and his army will manage to defeat Putin, and then they will go on and defeat the entire globe. Chase also claims that the aliens will modify once again our DNA in order to make us more peaceful, and so everyone will live happily. Even though it sounds scary, it's also what he has many times said, is that what the world needs now is an alien invasion. So if you want to look that up, type in alien UFO invasion in 2019 and T-Chase, you should be able to find the video.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. He has not stepped back on his claim, even though he's running out of time.
So, curious how many views the video has received.
I can tell you. Give me a second. I'll pull it up.
So it's just very interesting how many people have tuned in. And I wonder how many people have tuned in since the article was written. You know.
All right. 118,000 views on likes. There. Yeah, T.Chase is his name.
Chase.
Mm-hmm. And there are a good amount of accounts on here. And, you know, people are saying this looks exactly like a dream I once had. And all kinds of stuff. I mean, maybe this is where the Space Force is coming in.
Maybe it is. Who knows?
Got to defeat them aliens. Well, not the aliens are on our side.
Right.
Yeah, they're coming down to with Jesus to take out Putin. Yeah,
with Jesus.
Right. With Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, good, so I told good, you, be ready.
Good stuff.
Be
good
ready. Stuff, so dig out your pits and put in your safe. What are those things called?
Bunkers.
Yeah, put in your bunker. Get your canned goods and your Twinkies and get ready. And Jesus will let you know by knocking three times for the Trinity and let you know that it's safe to come out.
So if we hear three rounds of thunder, we should just know that.
Yeah, it's good to come out. You're okay. Yeah. But yeah, so that's this week's spooky news. Ooh, I told you it was a doozy.
There's some crazy stuff out there, but, you know, it's all crazy until it happens.
Until it happens, right. Yeah, precisely. You know, Christ comes down in a motorcycle with a bandana, he's got all these aliens. I mean, we're like, well, I'll be.
Yep.
Well, I'll be. Yeah. So yeah, had an interesting week. Had some creepy catch up myself. You told me you got a little bit. So
yeah,
let's go into get into a little creepy catch up before we get into our main topic.
Creepy catch up. Creepy catch up. Creepy catch up. Creepy catch up. Y'all, it's creepy.
Aw, yeah, creepy catch up.
Oh, yeah.
So, Daddy had himself another night hag.
Thought you were, like, on a good stretch there.
I thought I was, too. And it's interesting, like, I have been, my anxiety has kicked back in since then. It did not precursor it. So, people going, oh, well, it's your anxiety. No, this gave me the anxiety.
Did you eat Taco Bell?
No, okay. I actually haven't had Taco Bell in quite some time. Just because it's not, like, easily available.
Nothing against Taco Bell.
Yeah, nothing. I just don't go down that road as much. And I mean the physical road that's there that leads to Taco Bell. No, so, you know, the other night, I was just laying in bed. And, well, I sleep on the couch a lot because I fall asleep to the TV. My wife doesn't like noise, and so I'm usually too lazy to literally walk around the corner where the bedroom is. Which is, it's not like it's upstairs, people. It's literally 15 steps away. But I get too tired to get up, and I fall asleep on the couch a lot with my TARDIS blanket. And that's a place I can end up sleeping on my back because the dog jumps up there, and there's no room, and so I got to move and maneuver. Well, and I was on my back. I'm always on my back. And I wake up, and I just feel, like, hot breath against my face. And I'm like, what? And so I'm thinking it's the dog. But I look. He doesn't sleep up there. He sleeps down at my feet. And so I can't move, of course. So I lower my eyes, and I look down, and I can see him down at my feet. And I kind of do this, like, swipe to the right of, like, oh, God, what is it? And I can only see a piece of it, but it's just this one eyeball staring me in this, like, black form. And I can just feel and hear the breath against my face. And it's, like, molten lava hot. It's just so hot. And I can't move. And I'm like, oh, God. And then my eyes lock eye with this thing, you know, and I'm just freaking out, and I just turn and look at the dog, and I'm like, no, like, I'm trying so hard to get my dog up, who probably would have just ran, you know. And as always, just the only thing you can do is just try to move or try to fall back asleep. And so I tried to move. I took everything in me, and I, like, got my foot to kick, and it kind of woke up the rest of my body. Nothing there. So, like, that really stressed me out. Because I'm like, were you whispering something in my ear? Like,
yeah,
you know, was that what was happening?
The whole night hag thing just is very intriguing to me. I mean, just do they live in the space in between awake and sleep?
Right. Yeah.
And so when that's kind of where you are. You're like in the space in between awake and sleep, and so that's where they live.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a new series on Netflix. I don't remember what the name of it is. I apologize. I only watched the first two episodes. But it's like how our brains work or how we live. Or it has to do with the mind because the first one was about dreams. Mm-hmm. And it didn't get into Night Hag, but it did just talk about dreams in general, scientifically speaking. Yeah. And it was really, really interesting to learn about, you know, people that what happens to the brain when people can lucid dream and how that changes how the frontal lobe gets activated and just different stuff like that. And that really intrigued me. It was really interesting. Second episode was on anxiety. So I was like, those two fit perfect for me. But yeah, it was really good. Whatever it is, it just came out. So it's on like the main menu.
Yeah,
I highly recommend checking it out. Yeah. So yeah, that was my spooky creepy catch up for the week. So what say you, Mr. Routledge?
So in our in my first, I guess, introductory episode, I gave some details about you know, some experiences that I've had. And I was talking to my mom the other day, and she was like, "Oh, I listened to your show, and you know, you got a couple of your facts wrong." So she gave me a history lesson. So my great uncle Andy that lived in the farmhouse. So it turns out I was wrong. It wasn't just him that came back, and all of his family that died out west. He actually had a brother and another family member. I don't remember which one. I don't want to say the wrong name, so I don't want to get a lecture again. But But he and his brother were actually captured by Native Americans and lived with Native Americans.
So, well, that was the question we were asking.
Right. So for 2 years. And then they were rescued and brought back to Kentucky. And so that's probably a lot of where she even said that, like, he would chant later when he became bedridden. He would just sit in his bed and just chant and stuff. And so so the story that I gave about the rocking chair, when we came home from the hospital, it was in the room he died in.
Interesting.
So, just some additional detail to kind of, you know, go with the stories that I gave.
I love that. I love your mom. I'm glad she did that.
That's crazy. And just so weird how last week with Steven's story, how he had that story of just finding himself chanting. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. But I would have loved to have interviewed him to see what happened during those 2 years.
Oh, man, that would have been just crazy.
You know, it's like, were you put into slavery? Did you just get accepted as part? In prison? Like, oh, my God, so many questions for a dead man.
Yeah, I bet you it would have been a very interesting story. So, wow. So that's my one piece. Then another piece of creepy catch-up is, a few weeks ago, my father-in-law came to visit. And he and I were standing out in my driveway looking up, because where I live at, you can see just all kinds of stars. And so we were looking up at the stars, and we both saw, like, what I can best describe as stars moving around in a very small spark part of the night sky. And at first I was like, well, maybe it's the International Space Station.
Right.
But it wasn't moving the way the International Space Station moves. You know, it tracks from, like, east to west across the sky. This was just kind of like sporadic all over the place. Like, well, maybe it's a meteor shower. But again, because of the sometimes they would be going from north to south, and sometimes they'd be going from south to north, and sometimes east to west. And also, they were pretty much concentrated in this, like, one area of the night sky that I was looking at. And so, you know, I started thinking about it, like, you know, when you see the International Space Station fly over, you see it from Earth, because it looks like a star moving through the sky. But think about it. That thing is a massive structure in space.
Yeah, it has to be.
And you're seeing, like, a pinprick of light moving across the sky. So now take that and apply it to the lights that I saw, you know, we saw moving around the sky. Those things must have been huge for us to see them that far up. And they were moving, like, within seconds. And they were, like, they would be bright, and then they would just kind of, like, disappear. And, the best thing that I can equate it to is, I just watched the movie, but the movie Star Trek First Contact. At the end of the movie, you know, Zeppelin Cochrane's standing on Earth, and he, like, looks up and he sees the Enterprise go into the, you know, go into warp or whatever.
Right.
That's what it looked like. It looked like they were, like, just going to FTL or something.
Oh, that's crazy. And it can't be lightning bugs, because lightning bugs don't hold their charge.
Yeah. Well, this is, like, I mean, it was too high up for any airplane that I know of that can get that high up. You know, it could be obviously some government that we don't know about yet, right?
Right.
I mean, the whole stealth plane back in the 70s, the Black Hawk.
Stealth bomber?
No, the other one.
Oh, the other one.
It's
the,
like, sleek, yeah. Streamlined. But anyways, you know, you used to do all those maneuvers and stuff, and nobody knew about it until a lot later. So, you know, it's very possible, but it just was very neat. Now, fast forward to a couple of days ago, NASA announces that the Hubble telescope has identified that there's an Earth-like planet in the habitable zone of a star that's 124 light years away. It's part of the Leo constellation. Well, I remember that night when all this was happening, I pulled up an app on my phone called Sky Safari to see what stars were up there. The star that was in the vicinity was Regulus, which is a part of the Leo constellation.
Ha!
So it's just all kind of really interesting there.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
I just think back to Howard the Duck, and that it's coming, you know, they got that beam coming, and the monsters are coming. They're coming because it's almost 2020,
that's right.
And the aliens are coming, and you see them.
Now, is it 2020 by our calendar or the Mayan calendar? That's a good question.
That's a good question, too.
Because the Mayan calendar is.
Yeah. too little too late. All right, let's get out of creepy ketchup.
Creepy Ketchup. Creepy Ketchup. Creepy Ketchup. Creepy Ketchup. Y'all, it's creepy.
All right. So let's move right in. We're going to be talking about the Phoenix Lights. Looks like we've got some information from one of our favorite websites, MUFON.
Yep.
Which I absolutely adore.
Yeah. That...
But yeah, let's. What do you got for us?
Yeah. So first of all, MUFON. This whole article that I found was just so much detail. I not going to sit here and read everybody this 18-page article. But do want to kind of highlight some of the key things. So, Phoenix Lights took place in March 13th, 1997, over a course of 3 hours and 300 miles. Now, I have to ask you, Stephen, because as I'm sure you've read through the research that I've done building up to this episode, but think about before that. What did you know of the Phoenix Lights before that?
Before that, I know a movie came out a couple years ago, and of course, I'm always looking up stuff, and there was a show on History Channel, the UFO Hunters, whatever they are. Yeah. They covered it on an episode, So that's essentially what I knew.
So, I mean, I knew that I had heard of this thing called the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, and I knew a bunch of people have seen it.
And the article goes on to say that, like, thousands of people gave witness testimony to this thing that occurred. I mean, it is just really crazy that this thing happened over this 3 hour period of time and 300 miles.
Right. So it's called the Phoenix Lights, but it hit pretty much all of Arizona, right? And some of Nevada and Mexico.
And like they went ahead and there's like some video footage of everything.
I've seen some of it.
It seems to kind of disappear like behind a mountain range that's out there.
Yeah.
It is great. So what's really funny is there's actually two distinct events that happened.
Really?
On the night of the 1997. But the second one was dismissed by the United States Air Force.
Of course.
Right, well. I mean, what's really funny is they didn't take a chance or opportunity to dismiss the first one. It's like, well, the second one we know.
Yeah.
The first one was like, well...
Yeah, the second one was probably them trying to check it out.
Well, it says that, like, the second one was... some aerial flares that were dropped by an A-10 Warthog. That were doing training exercises. How come they always do training exercises in like the middle of the night?
Yeah, right after a big UFO sighting.
Right, exactly. I'm just, why wasn't it they were doing like a weather balloon release or something,
Right. So what kind of things did they see?
So I've got a couple of some eyewitness testimony here. So I am going to read through a couple of those. And this is some really interesting stuff. So this first one here is from a gentleman named John Kaiser.
Yeah, it looks like Kaiser.
Yeah, and he's in the Prescott area, Prescott Valley.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty close to Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure the location of things in Phoenix out there.
I know a little bit. Okay. A little bit. Yeah.
So this happened at approximately 8:17. Mountain Standard Time. Don't know what that equates to in Eastern. I think it's 2 hours behind us.
2 hours, yeah.
Yeah, so John Kaiser was standing outside with his wife and sons in Prescott Valley when they noticed a cluster of lights to the west-northwest of their position. The lights formed a triangular pattern, but all of them appeared to be red, except the light at the nose of the object, which was distinctly white. The object or objects, which had been observed for approximately 2 to 3 minutes with binoculars, then passed directly overhead the observers. They were seen to bank to the right, and then they disappeared in the night sky to the southwest of Prescott Valley. The altitude could not be determined. However, it is fairly low and made no sound.
That's the interesting thing, is the no sound. That's the thing. And, of course, we've got triangular or V-shaped, which is very, very common these days. A lot of the sightings that happen that we've seen over the past 30 years or so have tended to be more triangular and V-shaped as opposed to the circular.
Well, I've even heard of, like, the pill-shaped, like a tic-tac type thing. But it's also been speculated by many that those tic-tac objects are, like, probes, basically. they're unmanned and they're just, right. You know, so what's really interesting about this, you know, like you said, the no sound. So even if you can't hear something emitting some type of a pulse from an engine, or you should still hear the sound of wind rushing past an object that large as it moves through the air. I mean, think about it. When you hear an airplane flying way overhead, you don't really hear the engines of the airplane. You hear the wind break that's occurring as it breaks over the craft. So the fact that it emitted zero sound, but I mean,
how?
What kind of technology exists that you're dampening the sound of windbreak as it moves through the air?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I like the story that's here from the police officer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got an unidentified former police officer from Paulden, Arizona, who claimed he also saw this after leaving his house. As he was driving north, he allegedly saw a cluster of reddish or orange lights in the sky, comprising four lights together and a fifth light trailing them. Each of the individual lights in the formation appeared to the witness to consist of two separate point sources of orange light. He returned home and through binoculars watched the lights until they disappeared south over the horizon. And we even had another guy that saw it, and right, and he said that he swears it was the size of a Boeing 747. Yeah. Like,
I mean, that
these are not tiny little lights in the sky. These are huge lights.
Well, what's interesting between the officer's account and the account that I just read is that in the account that I just read, the V shape was moving towards them.
Mm-hmm.
But in the account for the officer, the V shape was really moving away.
Yeah, away, opposite direction.
So it's, and when you think about aircraft, they can fly like one direction. You know,
yeah.
Like the nose of a craft can't just start going backwards.
Right.
So the fact that the lights don't really seem to have any necessarily directionally, inclined to say that this is necessarily the front of the craft versus the back of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
So the MUFON, or excuse me, the National UFO Reporting Center, received a report from the Prescott area, and so this went on to say that while doing astrophotography, which is awesome, I like to do astrophotography.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
It is, because things in space are moving so quickly.
Yeah,
I observed five yellow white lights in a V formation, moving slowly from the northeast across the sky to the northwest across the sky to the northeast. Then turn almost due south and continue until out of sight. The point of the V was in the direction of movement. The first three lights were in fairly tight V, while two of the lights were further back along the lines of the V's legs. During the northwest to northeast transit, one of the trailing lights moved up and joined the three, and then dropped back to the trailing position. I estimated the three-light V to cover about 0.5 of degrees of the sky, while the whole group of five lights covered 1 degree of the sky.
Woo! So we've got them moving.
Moving on the craft.
Which,
So it's like, I don't know, it almost begs the question, is it one craft?
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Or is it five distinct crafts flying in formation?
Or are they linked up
together somehow?
You know, like Legos, essentially. Or or freaking Voltron.
Yeah, there's actually five lions.
Yeah.
Flying in the sky. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, are they linked up? Are they flying in formation? Or is it just so far outside of our realm of what we understand? Is it like the Trinity, so to speak? Is it five that is actually just one, but it is actually five? Like,
right. Or, you know, do they all work together to fly the craft?
Right.
In synchronous. So I've got another eyewitness testimony here. This took place in the town of Dewey, which is 10 miles east of Prescott.
So from there, oddly enough, we're getting very close to Snowflake, Arizona, where Fire in the Sky took place.
Oh, wow. That movie horrified me.
Yes. So. Yes, yes, yes. We covered it on this many ages ago on the podcast.
Yeah.
We covered the Fire in the Travis Walton Experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not.
That was in the 70s, right?
Yeah, it's in the 70s. It's not far from Phoenix. I think when I was in Phoenix, I thought about driving out there. I think it's like maybe a 2-hour drive.
Okay.
So it's east of Phoenix, which, you know, we're getting a lot closer now.
Right. Well, and it seems funny that, I mean, in not just this story, but in a lot of UFO sighting stories that I've seen that happened in that area out there, like Arizona and New Mexico and things, it seems like they're all drawn to, like, mountain ranges.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, is there a base or something?
Right, yeah. Is there bases? I mean, that's always, I mean, it's that same thing with the Taos Hum. It's like, right. Is there some sort of base in there? What is it?
So. Yes. But, so anyways, we got the town of Dewey, which is, it says here is 10 miles east of Prescott, Arizona. Again, the two previous stories took place in Prescott. Six people saw a large cluster of lights while driving northbound on Highway 69.
So six more are gathered. Aliens are there.
Yeah, so aliens.
Aliens.
All right, so we've got Tim Lay and his wife, Bobby, his son, Hal. Anyways, and his grandson, Damien. I'd like to make a point of reference here. I don't know why you would name a child Damien, but
I always laugh at that now. I laugh at that now. But I mean, it was a classic name before the movie. Yeah. But I think it's a great name.
I mean, it's like we've got a friend of ours who has a really good friend of his whose first name is Adolf because at the time that there was nothing wrong with having a name Adolf.
And you know, it's sadly Lucifer is a really pretty name. It's sad that it can't be used. Yeah.
So, all right, so they first saw the lights when they were above Prescott Valley, about 65 miles away from them. At first, they appeared to them as five separate and distinct lights in an arc shape, like they were on top of a balloon. But they soon realized the lights appeared to be moving towards them. Over the next 10 or so minutes, they appeared to be coming closer, and the distance between the lights increased. And they took on the shape of an upside down V. So I'm just going to stop there. So again, it's in all of these accounts, the V is in like a different orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it kind of like to your point about can our brain just not fathom? You know,
right.
Is the craft like liquid or something, right. And the lights are just kind of floating within this kind of liquidy craft? So it's just interesting that of all these accounts, the V is in a different orientation.
Yeah.
So. Eventually, when the lights appeared to be a couple miles away, the witnesses could make out a shape that looked like a 60-degree carpenter square with the five lights set in it. So if you think about it, I don't know if you know what a carpenter square looks
mm-hmm,
like.
I do.
It's basically, you know, two sides of a square. That's why it's called a square.
Once again, Jesus will be coming with the aliens. He was a carpenter. He's going to be flying a carpenter square. Done. We're done.
We just solved it.
We just solved life.
So, but again, also the carpenter square, we think about it as also that kind of V shape. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So, let's see. Coming. Okay. With one at the front and two on each side. Soon the object with the embedded lights appeared to be coming right down the street where they lived, about 100 to 150 feet above them. Traveling so slowly, it appeared to hover, and it was silent.
So there again, another report saying it's silent.
Right. The object then seemed to pass over their heads and went through a V opening in the peaks of the mountain range towards Squaw Peak Mountain. Do you know Squaw?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And toward the direction of Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. Well, I mean, so...
Jesus. Essentially, it means it was moving from east to west.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think Jesus needs to go through customs, too.
He does.
It's an international airport.
He's from a different country anyways.
So.
If he's a refugee, Trump won't let him in.
So again, I mean, the kind of interest of the mountain range there, there seems to be kind of a common theme mm-hmm. in a lot of these stories. So the Squaw Peak Mountain International Airport. So witnesses in Glendale, a suburb northwest of Phoenix, saw the object pass overhead at an altitude high enough to become obscured by thin clouds. This was at approximately 8:30 to 8:45 Mountain Standard Time. So again, here we have, let's look at timestamps. So we've got our account by our police officer here in Paulden, Arizona. That occurred at 8:15 Mountain Standard Time. We have our account here at Prescott. That doesn't give me a timestamp, but I'm assuming it's actually, it does. I'll take that back. At 8:17 Mountain Standard Time. I don't know the distance between Paulden and Prescott, but we know that.
Yeah, I don't either.
We know that from Prescott to Dewey, it's 10 miles.
Yeah.
And this occurrence that happened in Dewey was at 8:30 to 8:45. So, I mean, from a period of about 15 to 25 minutes, it moved 10 miles. So that's pretty slow when you think about it. I mean, that's, so is it moving that slow because it's doing surveillance, or if it's, you know, just kind of, you almost have to wonder if it was a purposeful sighting.
Right.
They want it to be seen. You know, what if that's the case? What if aliens want to make themselves known, but our government or governments of the world are suppressing
them? Right. You know, oh, yeah.
Stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
So, yeah. When the triangular formation entered the Phoenix area, Bill Greenier, a cement driver hauling a load down a mountain north of Phoenix, described the second group of lights.
I'll never be the same. Before this, if anybody had told me they saw a UFO, I'd have said, yeah, and I believe in the Tooth Fairy. Now I've got a whole new view, and I may be just a dumb truck driver, but I've seen something that don't belong here.
Greenier stated that the lights hovered over the area for more than 2 hours.
Don't matter if you're smart, dumb, it doesn't matter.
No.
What you see is what you see.
Right.
I mean, it's like... but yeah, I mean, that is the thing. It's like, yeah, everybody's an idiot until it happens to you.
Well, and you know, and I don't want to imply that all people who see UFOs are dumb. I'm just saying that sometimes if your brain... it's better to not let your brain come up with your own answers.
Right.
And sometimes people who are highly intelligent think, oh, that's just this, that, or the other, and they dismiss it.
Right.
And they don't accept it for the possibility that it could be.
Well, that's my biggest issue with debunkers, is they say, well, here's a possibility of why it's not real, so therefore it's not real. Well, I'm like, well, here's a possibility as to why it is real, so therefore, according to your logic, shouldn't it then be real?
Right. I mean, you can't, until you can prove without a shadow of a doubt that it isn't real, then the possibility still exists that it can be.
Exactly.
Whatever. So, yeah. So, it's really interesting that the report, the repeat of the lights happened again in February of 2007.
Really?
In April of 2008.
I did not know this. So I know thousands of people, of course, saw all these lights. And there are so many videos online of it. If you guys want to go look, just look up Phoenix lights and you will find a million people's camera.
So much.
You know, wasn't as much cell phone cameras because I think the iPhone just came out. But there's a lot of... No, 2007. So 97, so no phone footage. Yeah. I mean, this is like
this
camcorder.
Is like the guy with the quarter up on his shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, he carries it around in a briefcase.
They're running outside, I mean, they're grabbing, and there's quite a few of those. Plus news, footage.
News footage, so what's interesting is, in both cases, in 2007 and in 2008, so in the 2007 one, it was actually recorded by a local Fox News station. But the Air Force came out really quick and say, hey, this is actually flares that were dropped off.
Oh, here we go again with the flares.
You know, these flares do some amazing things. I mean, I don't know why we don't use them for other stuff.
I mean, maybe, guys, you shouldn't send out flares on the 10-year anniversary of the Phoenix lights.
Right. I mean, that is, you know, are you just trying to play a prank on people or what? What's going on there? But...
how about you let the news know, hey, tonight, folks, we're going to be shooting flares.
Right.
So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, if you think that they're alien sighting, it's not. It's flares.
It's flares.
It's flares. So what's really interesting, though, I think, is that in all these cases, at least for the Phoenix Lights, where the Air Force tried to spin an ulterior story, it's flares. Like, they couldn't come up with anything.
It's a weather balloon.
You know, or
five weather balloons.
Or even just airplanes flying in formation.
Yeah.
That would just seem like the logical thing to say.
Especially because flares sink.
Right. I mean, now aerial flares are like rockets. I mean, they go up and they kind of will sit up there for a little while.
Yeah, but they're not moving forward and then hovering over
things and then moving back. And, like. So yeah, the one that occurred in 2008. So this is again reported over North Phoenix. According to witnesses, the lights formed a vertical line, then spread apart, made a diamond shape.
Would you say it shine bright like a diamond?
No. The lights also formed a U shape at one time.
Trying to spell something.
Tell me what flares will form a diamond and then again form a U.
I don't know. It's like a one-time thing. I mean, I've seen the fireworks that make the heart shapes.
But it's like, it explodes and it does that.
Yeah, and then it's gone.
Like, it doesn't form a diamond and then explode again and form a U.
Yeah, no.
So, the...
And this is, you know, like, drones were not a thing.
No.
Like,
well, I mean, maybe in 2008.
Even then...
Like, early stages.
Yeah, not like mass like it is today.
No, I mean, you can't have... Like, today you have these big drone aerial shows where they are all synchronized.
Yeah, and that,
like,
you know...
Like, put Ric Flair's picture up in the sky or something, you know, so... But yeah, so this one, you've got a Tony Toporek video tape the lights. Now we're in 2008 here, so this actually might be some smartphone
camera. Yeah, footage. For sure. Yeah, I mean, so, iPhone was definitely on.
He was talking to neighbors at 8 p.m. when the lights appeared. He went and grabbed his camera to get a video of the lights. A Valley resident reported that shortly after the lights appeared, three jets were seen heading west in the direction of the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, that doesn't mean that they're flares. That just means...
They going after them.
We're responding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's something in our airspace. We're going to send up jets to find out what it is. An official from Luke Air Force Base denied any United States Air Force activity in the area. So they weren't our jets. They were other people's jets.
Yeah.
Private jets.
Yes.
People have private F-16s.
They were Putin's. He was getting ready for his attack in 2019.
So, Air Jesus. So they said, you know, we didn't have anything up there. So, on April 22nd, this is the day after, a resident of Phoenix told the newspaper that the lights were nothing more than his neighbor releasing helium balloons with flares attached.
Oh, come on.
Did he also have, like, remote control fans on these helium balloons?
Yeah.
He could form them into a diamond and then a U. I mean, come on, people, I just think that if you believe in the potential explanation, in many cases, the potential explanation for what things are is more far-fetched than the possibility of it being.
Yes.
You know? I mean, come on.
So,
the following day, a Phoenix resident who declined to be identified in the news stated he had attached flares to helium balloons and released them from his backyard. However, no name or pictures of the reported hoaxer were ever released, nor was anyone cited, ticketed, or charged in the supposed releasing of flares from a residential area that at that time was enduring a record.
I was about to say, Phoenix and New Mexico and places like that are constantly on, hey, no making fires. And someone sending up a ton of flares. Absolutely not.
I feel like Smokey the Bear would have been over there.
Yep.
Handcuffing him, taking him away. There would be a record of it. So, yeah, I mean, that's just all a little too convenient, in my opinion. So, we kind of break down here into some imagery around the lights. And this gets in a little bit of some video footage from the news and things like that. So I think all this is pretty neat, and I think it's worth sharing. For anybody who might want to try to, it's maybe going along the debunking path. So, the imagery of the Phoenix Light basically falls into two categories. There's images of the triangular formation that were seen prior to 2200, which is 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and Prescott and Dewey, and images of the post-event, but almost no known images of the second event. So this is, if you remember, I started the story saying there were two events, one that happened. The second one they said was flares. But there's almost no images of the second event. So everything is really from the first event. All the known images were, so that includes stills as well as video, were produced using a variety of commercially available camcorders and cameras. So there's not like somebody is passing out, you know, Kodak cameras and saying, here, be ready to go at 8 p.m. Right. Yeah. So it wasn't a flash mob of alien sightings. So there are a few known images of the Prescott Dewey lights. There's a couple of television stations reported that an individual named Richard Curtis recorded a detailed video that purportedly showing the outline of the spacecraft, but that video had been lost. I don't know if it's coincidental or convenient or whatever the case is. You know, you decide that for yourself. The only other known video is of poor quality and shows a group of lights with no craft visible. During the Phoenix event, numerous still photographs and videotapes were made, distinctly showing a series of lights appearing at a regular interval, remaining illuminated for several moments and then going out. So this feels like more of that kind of flare story where you've got lights that are bright and then going out. But the fact that they're reoccurring lights, I mean, that means you're constantly shooting flares. So, I mean,
right.
Again, to your point earlier, drought. I mean, I don't know if they were in a drought in 1997, but it was probably still pretty dry. I mean, in the desert. So, I can't imagine where the Air Force would be. Well, maybe I can't imagine where the Air Force would be that inconsiderate of. These images have been repeatedly aired by documentary television channels such as Discovery Channel and History Channel as part of the UFO documentary program. The most frequently seen sequence shows what appears to be an arc of lights appearing one by one, then going out one by one.
Right, I've seen that many times.
Yeah, I think you can actually, that's on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you go out and look for Phoenix Lights video footage, you can find that. So UFO advocates claim that these images show that the lights were some form of running light or other aircraft illumination along the leading edge of a large craft, estimated to be as large as 1 mile in diameter. That is huge.
All right. We do have helicarriers, guys. We do have helicarriers.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Independence Day craft. Huge, right. Right. I mean, that's so.
That came out around then, right?
It did, actually. It was Will Smith one of the. I don't know if he was one of the sites or not.
It was Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, Will Smith was in it.
I know, but Jeff Goldblum. They all come for Jeff Goldblum.
So, I mean, just still, but 1 mile in diameter, that is huge. And, again, going back to some previous accounts, made no sound. Something that's 1 mile in diameter and made no sound.
My dad is not even close to a mile in diameter, and you can hear him coming a mile away.
You're going to get in trouble. So, other similar sequences reportedly taken over a half-hour period show different numbers of lights and a V and arrowhead-type shape. The key thing I want to call out here is that thousands of witnesses throughout Arizona also reported a silent, mile-wide V or boomerang-shaped craft with varying numbers of huge orbs. The fact that, I mean, so number one, if it said 10 people saw that,
that's still
a lot,
incredible.
But thousands of people, and they all reported a similar design, shape, and experience.
And that just that mile wide, like that's what's incredible about it.
I mean, that is a huge craft. I mean, it just
What I wonder, and I know no one was thinking at the time, but something a mile wide is pretty wide. And it's like, I wonder if they could see in between the lights. Like, could they see other stars?
Oh, yeah.
Was
it kind of like transparent?
Was it blocking out stars as it, right, as it went over?
Was it like a shadow in the night sky?
But I mean, it's, you know, I would be more interested in the people not in Phoenix where there's city lights, you know, but out, I mean, you don't have to go far. I mean, I remember going outside of Albuquerque, just outside of it. And it, I mean, I never saw so many stars in my whole life. I mean, when we went to Roswell and White Sands, we stopped on the side of the road on the way home because we stayed until it was evening. We're just in some back road in New Mexico, and I pulled over. There was a moonless night. I pulled over, and you literally could not see the hand in front of your face.
Yeah.
It was so dark.
I really want to go to Death Valley.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those few places that you can see the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yes.
And so I'd love to go out there and take some pictures, and I've got a camera that I hook into my telescope. And
that's awesome.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
I should have got that out the other night when I was seeing those lights flying around. But anyway. So the first-hand witnesses consistently reported that the lights appeared as canisters of swimming light.
Yeah, so this is different than just a light bulb.
Right. This is not like wing markers on an aircraft that stay, you know, that are stationary.
Right.
This is like lights moving around.
Internally as well.
Right. which, you know, it would be interesting to know if they could see, you know, if there was more transparency to whatever medium they were moving within.
Right.
So there's a message here, or a note here that says, while the underbelly of the craft was undulating, looking like looking through water.
That's crazy.
It's like the bent horizon on the Stargate.
Yeah.
It's like, kind of, then you got white orbs moving around in it.
Yeah.
But yet it still has a form, and it's a mile wide.
Mile wide.
So then you got this UFL advocate. That's the UFL. So UFO advocate. Jim Delitzo.
Dilettoso.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. He claimed to perform some spectral analysis on the photographs and video imagery that provided the lights that could not have been produced by a man-made source. Now, it goes on to say, and I won't read all of this, but it goes on to say that the software that he used they can't find it. They don't know.
Right.
Like, they don't know who makes it or anything to be able to do the same thing. So, again, for those of you who we're thinking maybe this is just, you know, everybody, they had a big bonfire, burned some peyote, and everybody had a shared experience. I don't know, but it does go on to say that a Cognitech, an independent video laboratory, superimposed the video imagery taken of the Phoenix lights onto video imagery that was shot during the daytime of the same location. In the composite image, the lights are seen to extinguish at the moment they reach the Estrella mountain range. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But a local TV station did the same thing, and they said that it didn't show that it reached the mountain range. That it actually went out in front of the mountain range. But then Cognitech came back and said, no, you all did it wrong. you didn't match like zoom and frame scale and all that kind of stuff, and so our video is better. And so, I've got some stuff here about wind direction. The only thing I'll say here, and this is kind of the only, other than of course the Air Force, this is the only individual who has tried to release a statement to kind of debunk the experience. So Mitch Stanley, an amateur astronomer, observed high-altitude lights flying in formation using a Dobsonian telescope, giving 43 times magnification. After observing the lights, he told his mother, who was present at the time, that the lights were aircraft. According to Stanley, the lights were quite clearly individual airplanes. A companion who was with him recalled asking Stanley at the time what the lights were, and he said, planes. When Stanley first gave the account of his observation to the Discovery Channel town hall meeting, with all the witnesses there, he was shouted down in his assertion that what he saw was what other witnesses saw. Some have claimed that Stanley was seeing the Maryland National Guard jets flying in formation during a routine training mission at the Barry M. Goldwater bombing range south of Phoenix.
At night.
It is possible that the Phoenix Lights V is actually a group of planes based on the explanation of a similar sighting in South Carolina.
I just don't know.
Well, and again, I go back to the excuse that there, the reason that was given by the Air Force. Let's say that there's these five planes that are out there flying around in formation. If that really is the case, why not use that as the explanation?
Yeah, why not use that as the explanation?
Right. Why go off on some weird, it was flares story, you know? Even if you found out after the fact that there was these five planes out there flying around, reverse your story. Actually, it wasn't flares. It was these five planes that are flying up. So, again, I think it's one individual against thousands. One individual looking through a telescope, by the way, against thousands of individuals who reportedly saw the same thing. So, let's see. Again, the second event, they talk a little bit about it here, but it was a set of nine lights appearing to hover over the city of Phoenix at around 10 p.m. The second event was more thoroughly covered by the media, due in part to the numerous video images taken of the lights. This was also covered by numerous people who may have thought they were seeing the same lights as the earlier reports. But the U.S. Air Force explained the second event as slow-falling, long-burning illumination flares dropped by a flight before a 10 Warthog aircraft on a training exercise at the Luke Air Force Base.
And so they only do this training exercise once every 50 years, or 10, apparently.
Well, and I mean, I guess you can't really, what are you testing, flares? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't test those during the daytime, I guess. So I pulled this out as some anecdotal. I kind of think this is funny. It's a little light on the whole thing, but shortly after the lights, Arizona Governor Fife Symington. So first of all, Fife.
Just Barney Fife.
held a press conference stating that they found who was responsible.
Oh, I've seen this footage.
He proceeded to make light of the situation by bringing his aide on stage dressed as an alien costume,
and it really ticked people off. Oh, yeah. He did not. I'm pretty sure he did not win after that because people were so mad because thousands of people saw this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know,
he basically called his constituents idiots.
Idiots. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was just trying. You know, in hindsight, he was just trying to be funny, and he thought he was making a joke. But yeah, I mean, the last thing you want to do is tell thousands of people who might vote for you
exactly
that they're idiots. So.
Exactly.
So yeah, so that's about the gist of the lights. Knowing this new information, any thoughts?
Dude, my thoughts are still the same. I still think it was something. That many people seeing it, and just like you said, if it was that easy, they would have just said that that's what it is. Right. And flares, unless they've got some technological flares that came out in 1997, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I don't buy it. Now, am I to say it's aliens? Not necessarily. I mean, is it some sort of secret government thing? Some sort of government thing, you know, like that they're not telling us about, right? Sure, but I mean, why would you fly something a mile wide over Phoenix?
Right.
Like, if you're going to do it, like, can we go to the Amazon where nobody's at?
I mean, unless you're trying to, you know, test some kind of new stealth technology.
Sure.
And you want to know if people can see it. But if you do that, you don't hang out for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And when the first person reports it, you fly away and you try again another night. I mean, it's very interesting and, you know, still unsolved.
Yeah, still unsolved. That's the big thing. And especially having sightings years later, I'm curious to see, you know, like, if anything else pops up, especially since we only got a couple months left.
Yeah, until they all get here. Right.
Before the epic battle between Jesus and Putin takes place. Holy moly, man. Like, there's and like I said, we've only scratched the surface on the observations and sightings from people there their videos.
I think I read, three?
Yeah.
Three witness testimonies. There were thousands of people. So, I mean, if you really want to know, like Stefan said, if you really want to know more about this, there is just so much detail online, stuff you can find on YouTube where people have found and uploaded videos on YouTube.
Even fiction. I mean, there's a ton of movies that are based off of it. They came from outer space, Night Skies. Those are movies. Another movie called The Appearance of a Man, as well as like some docs. There's the Phoenix Lights, We Are Not Alone documentary. The Phoenix Lights, A Skeptic's Discovery That We Are Not Alone, by astronaut Dr. Edgar Mitchell. You know, and different things like that. And there was one that came out a few years ago, I think it was called Phoenix Forgotten. And then there's another one called Phoenix something or other 97. Like, I mean, there's some, they're not all great.
Yeah.
You know, which a lot of times sci-fi can
be.
low budget,
but you know, I think the most important thing is don't just read one account, right? Look at a bunch of different opportunities there and make your own decision.
Yep. And on that, we're going to start to wrap up. We aren't going to do a listener story today since we just did two full episodes full of listener stories, essentially. But we will be back with a listener story. Actually, Steven Stanek's mother sent us a story, which we'll be covering next week. Very interesting stuff. But make sure to send in your stories. Have you seen a UFO? Have you seen lights in the sky? We want to know these things. We do not think you are crazy. And if you're worried about your name, give us tell us to use an alias. Yeah. Tell us to put anonymous. Send those to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your stories. We want them. Don't make us get them out of you. And if you don't like writing, grab your phone, use the voice recorder, record it, record your own story, and then, you know, let us know about it, and we can set up a Google Drive or anything. Or heck, if you want to come to the studio one of these times and record it yourself, we'll make it happen. Yeah. We want those stories. We are very interested in your experience.
Yep.
So please send all those listener stories to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com or just email me and let me know, and we'll see what we can do from there. But yeah, thank you guys. And thank you, Josh, for bringing this to the table. Yeah. I love the Phoenix Lights. It's been on our list for a while, and I'm glad we're finally touching that. And man, I mean, so much. We've been really digging into some UFO stuff, and it's amazing how similar everything is.
Oh, it really is.
So, but we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys so much, like I said, for tuning in to 100.9 FM WCHQ and the DNN. Make sure to check out both of those things. If you're here in Louisville, listen to the station. Or get the app, download the app, stream it live there, or just www.wchqfm.com, or go to destinationcomics.com/DNN and find Fearscape there for the podcast versions. And on that, we're going to get out of here. So thank you guys so much. I have been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
This is Josh. The truth is out there.
And remember, folks, hold those blankets extra tight. Good night, everybody.